Well, good morning, everyone. So very good to see you. My name is Eric, and it is an honor for me to stand before you as we open up God's Word together. We are going to continue on in our series this morning titled Faith Really Works. And so if you would, just go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of James. We're going to pick up where Ronnie left off last week. James chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 19, and we're going to go all the way down through the end of the chapter. And I don't know about you, but I love James. Just the practical way that he spells out how we put our faith into action. In fact, James tells us here in chapter 1, he says, you know, your faith, that is what you believe, apart from what you do, is really worthless. In other words, it doesn't matter really how many times you come to church. It doesn't matter if you have the right theology, because unless you put your faith into action, can you really call that faith? Let me give you an example. Last year, I turned 40. I know it's hard to believe, but I turned 40 and I started asking some questions, you know, just to myself. You know, maybe it's time to think about, you know, eating a little bit better. Maybe it's time to, you know, work on getting in shape a little bit better. That's not quite as easy as it used to be. And so I went and joined a health club. And when I, you know, got my membership, they gave me some free training sessions, you know, and they assigned me a personal trainer. And of course, I get the, 25-year-old guy, you know, muscles out to here. You know, he's Germanic descent. His name was Hans. And, you know, we start talking, and he says, well, what happened? You know, if you were once in shape, what happened? I said, you know, this is just real life happening here. I'm not 25 anymore. I don't live in the gym. He says, why aren't you in shape? I said, I'm in shape. It's just I'm in the shape of a Coke bottle. I mean, and we started into our session and started talking a little bit. And he asked me about, you know, my eating habits and, you know, how much I exercise and all those sorts of things. And then he started doing some measurements. He wanted to find out my BMI, that's body mass index. And, you know, he weighed me and measured me and all those kind of things. And quite honestly, I was surprised at the result that he came back with, because, you know, he said, for a man of your age, you know how they say that, for your age. He said, for a man of your age, you're really the ideal weight if you were 6'3". but I'm not. And so instead, he ended up making up a plan for me, you know, a workout plan. And he said, Eric, if you will commit to doing this plan, you know, exercising, coming to the gym, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, and if you'll do this regimen of things that I'm asking you, and if you'll start maybe eating a little bit, you know, more healthy, you know, don't drink 12 Dr. Peppers in a day. If you'll do these things, then, you know, in a few weeks, we'll get to you in shape. And so I thought, well, this is great. And I even left the gym very excited that day. I mean, I left the gym believing that I was really going to make some serious changes. And I had Hans on my side. I thought, me and Hans, we're going to work out together. And, you know, I'm going to start eating right and not drinking so many Dr. Peppers. And well, the reality of that is, you know, you can believe all you want. And you can even have the perfect plan, you know, to help make some changes. But until you are willing to put those beliefs and to put those plans into action, you won't see any changes. And that's exactly what James is talking about. He says, you know, hearing and listening to God's word, that is great. But until you begin to put your faith into action, you won't begin to see any changes. Now, in this section of scripture that we're going to look at, James chapter 1, James gives us a couple of things that will happen when we begin to put our faith into action. So if you're taking notes this morning, this is point number one. When we begin to put our faith into action, one of the things that we'll see happen is that our faith will preserve your soul, okay? We'll talk about that in just a minute. But then there's another thing that happens. When we put our faith into action, we will also be blessed. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, those are some pretty good benefits. That by putting my faith into action, that I actually have the opportunity to partner with God and he will save my soul. And at the same time, there's some life benefits that he will bless us in that, you know, in that process. So let's dive right into our text here. Again, we're going to start in James 1, chapter 1, verse 19. James says this. He says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about righteous life that God desires." Now, I want you to focus on those couple of verses for just a moment. And I want to give you an assignment. If you weren't here with us last week, this is the section of Scripture that Ronnie focused off. And your assignment for this week is, if you weren't here with us last week, or maybe you just didn't pay attention, I want you to go to our website and listen to that sermon. Because I believe that if each one of us would begin to put those verses into practice in our day-to-day life, we would see dramatic changes in our relationships. We would see changes in our marriage, in our families, if we would be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We would revolutionize, I think, our relationships. But James goes on to say here in verse 21, he says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Now, I'm reading out of the NIV, the New International Version, but as you look at different translations of the Bible, most other translations translate this last little sentence a little bit differently. Your Bible might say something like this, "Humbly receive the word planted in you, which can preserve your soul." Now, what James is talking about here is he's saying that within each one of us, we all have, you know, God's truth planted within us. Whether that's from, you know, reading our Bible or hearing a message about the love of Jesus Christ, but we all have God's truth planted in us. But we also all have an opportunity to either receive or accept God's truth, or we have an opportunity to reject it. Let me give you an illustration. It's kind of a medical illustration. You know, modern medical technology can do just amazing things. You know, when we are having trouble with any of our major organs, they can do transplant if there is a healthy heart or healthy lungs or liver, whatever it might be. If there's something available, surgeons, in incredible ways, they can transplant a new heart, a stronger heart, to help strengthen and prolong your life. And what I'm told is that when a transplant like this takes place, you know, after the doctor has transplanted the new heart in and hooked it up just right and closed the patient back up, you know what the first thing they do is? They wait. They wait to see whether or not the body is going to receive that new heart. They're going to wait to see if the body will accept that new organ to allow it to do what it was designed to do. And you see, that's the same thing that James says is happening within each of us, that God has planted this truth within us, but we have a tendency as humans to not always receive or accept God's truth in our life. In fact, sometimes we reject what God has given to us. Sometimes we have a tendency to listen to God and to hear what he says, but we say, "No thanks, God. I think I'll do it my own way." Now, the problem with that is that when we reject what God has given us, sometimes we miss out on the benefits that God has planned for our lives. And you know what? I love hearing those stories of life change, where somebody will tell me a story and they'll say, "Eric, you know what? I went to church for a long time and it didn't seem like my faith really made a difference. But something happened along my journey and I changed my heart. I changed my attitude. I changed the way I was maybe stiff-arming God. And something happened. Maybe they, you know, left their past behind, or maybe they just stopped arguing with God about who's in control of their life." And they say, "You know, I made this change in my life, and suddenly everything is different." Suddenly now I have more peace, I have more contentment, I have more happiness in my life than what I've ever had before. In fact, today I'm doing things that just a couple of years ago I would have never imagined I would have answered the call that God laid on my heart. You know, each week we watch some video testimonies of different ones of you who share what God is doing in your life. And I have a unique opportunity because I get to sit down with you folks, just me and my video camera, and we begin talking about what God is doing. And I so wish all of you could be there with me because we don't always get to tell you the full story here on Sunday morning because we have some time constraints. But I love hearing the stories and the details about how God has maybe walked you through an incredibly challenging time in your life. And to see how when those challenges come up, so many of you, you've stepped up to the challenge and you've walked with God, allowed Him to take control. And He's led you to a new place. So many of you have taken to heart, not just hearing the message, but really putting your faith into action, just like James says here in verse 22. Go ahead and look back at our text. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." You know, for some reason, we have a tendency to think there is some spiritual value to just hearing the message instead of doing. For some reason, we think that just by hearing a message that we'll automatically make changes. But as James says here, and if you look at the literal translation of what James is really saying here, he's saying, don't deceive yourselves. In other words, if you think that you can just hear a message and automatically make changes, you have reconciled incorrectly. In other words, you've added up all the numbers and you've come up with the wrong answer. Just by hearing a message will not change the habits of your heart. We actually have to put our faith into action to make those changes. But you know, for some of us, that can be difficult. Maybe you grew up in a church culture where it was just a natural part of church to where you didn't think it was a good sermon or a good Sunday if you didn't walk out feeling guilty. I mean, for some churches, that's just how they operate. They make you feel guilty about your life. You know, you like getting your toes stepped on. You like it when you can say to the preacher, you know what, I'm a terrible, terrible sinner. But there are a lot of churches to where that's their culture. It's just a culture of feeling guilty, but yet there's never a call to action. There's never a call to make changes in your life. For others of you, you might have grown up in a church where information was the goal. I mean, you showed up each week with your Bible, and you had your notebook, you're ready to take those notes. And there are a lot of churches where that is the ultimate goal. It's just to gain more knowledge. And I believe James would say, well, that's great. Getting more knowledge about God's Word, that is great. But don't think that that's the end goal. Don't rely on just having good notes, or don't rely on just the fact that you can quote a number of verses from the Bible. You know, don't rely on the fact that you can explain the dispensational categories of the book of Revelation. Don't rely on those things because it's more than just hearing, it's more than just feeling guilty, it's more than just gathering information. We have to put our faith into action. Sometimes I'll hear people talk about a worship experience. They'll say, boy, my faith just really gets, you know, strengthened when we have these great times of worship and I'm into the music and I can just feel God. He's so close. And I believe James would say to us, well, that's good. I'm glad you're feeling close to God. But again, it's more than hearing. It's more than feeling guilty. It's more than just gathering information. It's more than just feeling close to God. James says, no, we've got to put feet on our faith. And really, that faith begins when we walk out these doors. We walk into our schools. We walk into our workplace. It's when we rub elbows with folks on the soccer field or the little league field. And we're interacting in our community. It's at those moments that our faith begins to take on real life. It's when we put it into action. James uses a kind of a humorous illustration here in verse 23. He says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like." Now, get this picture. I mean, imagine in the morning, you wake up and, you know, the first thing you do, you go to the bathroom, you flip on the light, and you begin to look in the mirror. You get the picture? You know, hair all messed up, your face kind of squished from where, you know, you slept on the pillow last night. I mean, and you look intently at that mirror. You see what you look like. You see how messed up you look like. Now, I don't think there's any of us here that would be willing just to look in the mirror, see how messed up we are, and then just walk out the door. No, what we do is we look in the mirror, and we're ready to make some changes, right? I mean, we got all the stuff. We got the hairbrush, and you got the comb, and the gels, and the hairspray, and all the stuff to, you know, to make yourself look presentable. And, you know, you stand in front of the mirror for a long time, don't you? In fact, I know how long you stand there. You stand there as long as it takes for you to look presentable so you can step out into the world. And for some reason, we won't leave our house, we won't leave our bathroom until we're all made up and until we're looking just right. We won't do that physically as we walk out into the world, but for some reason, we do that spiritually. I mean, we come here each Sunday and we hear a message from God's Word, or maybe you're having your own quiet time and you're reading the message and God's Holy Spirit is convicting your heart of some things that you need to change and some things that you need to do. But how many times do we close up the book and we walk right out the door without ever making any changes? Back to James, this time in verse 25, he says, "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom." Isn't that a great description of God's Word? The perfect law that gives freedom. Freedom from our past. Freedom from guilt. Freedom from sin. Freedom from having to live with the mess that we've made of our lives, but finding freedom in the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. It says, "But the man who looks intently at the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it," say this with me, "he will be blessed." Let's try that again. Y'all are still asleep. "He will be blessed in what he does." Isn't that incredible blessing that God gives to us? If we will not just listen, if we will not just receive God's truth, but we will put into action the truth that God has laid in our heart, he says, we will be blessed. Now, what does that mean? What does that word mean, be blessed? If you're taking notes, take note of a couple of these definitions from this word. Blessed means to be satisfied or content or having peace with God. Now, I know some of you have a question there. You think, you know what? I really feel like I have received God's word, and I feel like I'm putting my faith into action. But yet, at times in my life, I don't always feel blessed. I mean, there's trouble at home, or my child is sick, or I've lost my job. Understand, when we're talking about being blessed by God, God promises us that he will bless us, but that does not mean we will be forever free from the problems of this world. That's just part of life. But instead, James says, there will be problems, and I'm going to give you the tools that you need to help overcome some of those challenges. So how do we put our faith into practice? Again, this is one of the things I love about James because he is so practical. Verse 26, he says this, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless." Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I don't know about you, but I am thankful to be a part of a church that puts faith into practice. I mean, as I look, you know, across our church family, I see so many of you. And over the years, as have you grown in your relationship with God, you've learned to guard your heart. You've learned to keep a rein on your tongue. You've learned not to let the anger in your life get the best of you. Instead, you've learned to love the people in your life, to forgive those folks who have hurt you, and even to go on and serve other people that could never repay you. In fact, many of you have gone really the extra mile when it comes to the way you've put your faith into action, to the way that you've served and love other folks. In fact, I'm so excited that this year already, in 2010, we've already had 4 different mission trips go out from our church family. We've had a group go to Guatemala. We've had a group go to Honduras. We've had 2 groups that have gone out to Haiti to help in the relief effort there. And to me, that is such an exciting thing, that to see regular folks, people that have heard the call that God puts on our heart, and they've been willing to answer, and they've been willing to step out and put their faith into action. Now, this week, I had the opportunity to sit down with Tim McDonald. Tim is a longtime member here at First Colony. He and his wife, Tammy. Tammy's one of our teachers at Cornerstone Christian Academy. And they've raised their 3 daughters here within our church family. And this week, I sat down with Tim and I asked him, I said, tell me what God has been doing in your life over the last few years. How has he been working on your heart to transform your actions and your attitude toward faith? Take a look at the big screens for just a moment.
In the book of James, it talks about faith. And to me, having faith is stepping out and doing something. Several years ago, Tammy and I, having 3 daughters, as anybody would with teenagers, we struggle with materialism, as we do with adults. We struggle with materialism. We wanted to do something to get them outside of thinking about themselves. And so Tammy and I decided several years ago that I would take one of them on a mission trip. In this case, it was Katie, and we ended up going to Honduras. And she didn't want to go, and I didn't know that I wanted to go. When we get there, we had a ball. We built things. We mixed cement. We worked harder than we've ever worked before. We come back from that trip, and Katie tells Tammy, you've got to go on one of these. So we go from not wanting to go to, when can I go back? And in the next summer, Katie and Tammy ended up going on one. They come back again. And then for the next 2 summers after that, that was our family vacation. The whole family went on these trips. People ask me why I keep going on these mission trips. And as many of you know, I go to Haiti, and Tammy goes to Haiti as well. And I just returned from Haiti about a week ago, and I spent a lot of time down there with a man named Pasius. Many of you all know Pasius. He is a preacher there in Haiti. He has actually been to this congregation. Pasius is a leader. He lives in a village called Gonaive, about 90 miles outside of Port-au-Prince. While they were not specifically affected by the damaging from the earthquakes, they have received a good number of refugees. First Colony has so graciously donated many funds, and he's using that to feed these refugees. These refugees, there's about 130 of them that the church there has taken in. And this is significant because Pasius himself has taken in over 50 of them in his house. And the significant part of this is Pasius and his wife Linda and his daughter are sleeping outside in a tent in a dirt floor. They gave up their home so their brothers and sisters from Port-au-Prince could have a place to stay. One of the reasons I keep going back is to be with a man like Pasius. Pasius is the closest example I can find on this earth today of walking like Jesus. And every time I'm around Pasius and I'm around those Haitian people, those Christians in Haiti, it always helps my faith. In James, it talks about faith, and faith is stepping out. And sometimes that means getting out of your comfort zone. And I'm wanting to challenge each of you to find a way to grow your faith, to go on a mission trip, or help on Second Mile Ministry, to assist in the prison ministry. find a way to help assist somebody in your community to grow your faith.
You know, each one of us, we are all on this journey of faith. And my question that I have for you this morning is, what is your next step? What is your next step in faith? Because all of us have a next step. It doesn't matter where you're at in your relationship with God. If you're just starting out, He's got a next step for you. If you've been in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, for a large portion of your life, He's still got a next step for you. I want to ask you just for a moment to begin taking your communication card out and filling that out. You find that in your order of worship. There's some on the pew racks in front of you. And we do this each week, one, not just to know that you're here, but also to hear back from you. Because if you'll notice, on the back side of that, you can communicate some very important information to us. Number one, you can write down some prayer requests, which our shepherds, our elders will be praying over you this week. Our staff is praying over you this week. But you can also do some other things, and that is communicate to us what your next step needs to be. Because again, none of us are on this journey alone. We're all in this together, and at time from time, we all need a little bit of encouragement to take that next step. And so my question for you this morning is, what is your next step? Maybe you're new to church, or maybe you're new to just coming back to church. I would encourage you, because you're in that early stage, just keep coming back. Keep listening to that message, and keep putting yourself in good opportunities that'll allow you to be encouraged in your faith, and maybe to take that next step. One easy thing that you can do is sign up for our First Colony 101 class next week. You'll discover more about our church family. You'll discover more ways that you can get involved, but that's an easy next step that you can take. I know there's some of you here, and you've had a kind of an on and off relationship with God. Maybe you've had that question in your life where you've said, you know what, I think there's more to faith. Maybe you've been, you know, kind of stiff-arming God for a good portion of your life. Yeah, you're here every Sunday, and you listen to the message, and you even believe at least part of that message, but maybe there's something that's holding you back. Maybe there's some roadblock in your relationship with God that maybe you haven't fully given your life over to Him. Maybe you need to make that next step by just making a commitment to Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to get rid of some things in your past and make amends, and so you can move forward in your relationship. And I know for many of us that are here, we've been coming to church for a long time, and we enjoy church, and we enjoy our relationship with God and with our church community. But I also know that it's real easy to get comfortable in these nice pews we have. I mean, it's real easy just to settle into our faith and think, you know what, I've been serving and I've been giving for a long time. I'm going to just kind of coast here for a little while. For you, I would encourage you, remember, James says that faith without action isn't really faith at all. And so whether you're 8 or whether you're 80, we all have a next step in our faith. In fact, I want to encourage all of you, at any point and any time, out in our gathering hall, we've got our next step station. It's that booth that's right next to the bookstore. And each week you'll discover that there are ways that you can take an easy next step right here within our church family. Greg already talked about some of those opportunities that are coming up. You can sign up to be an usher. You can sign up to be a greeter on any given Sunday. You can help out with our Easter service coming up here in a couple of weeks. But here's easy opportunities that you can begin to put your faith into action right here within our church family. And then I want to encourage you to start taking those next steps. stepping outside of the building, serving here in our community, serving maybe at Second Mile Mission, or signing up for one of our mission trips that goes to different parts of the world to share the message of Jesus Christ. But for each of us, no matter where we're at on our journey, we need to be taking that next step. If there's something that we can do to help you take that next step, we want to know about it. I hope you'll write it on that communication card. Somebody here from our staff will contact you, help you get you signed up. The folks at the Next Step Station can do that as well. But we want to be here so that you can take that next step and put your faith into action. Here in just a moment, as we sing our closing song, you can pass those communication cards to either one of the ends of the aisle. Our ushers will be collecting those during the last song. But before we get to that point, I want to pray over us this morning. I want to pray that each one of us would be open and willing to take that next step. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father God, we come before you this morning and we really humbly accept the truth that you've placed within each one of our lives. Father, we pray that this morning we wouldn't just hear that message, but Father, we would not just receive that message. Father, that we would really take it to heart and put it into practice in our everyday life. We know that begins with the things that we say. Our speech, gaining control and having a rein on our tongue and our anger. Father, because that displays the attitude and the actions of what's going on in our heart. Father, we pray that we would grow in our faith so that we'd be able to step out in those situations that are uncomfortable, maybe at school or at work, and maybe share the love of Jesus Christ with those people that are around us so that they might come to know you. Father, at times we are weak, at times we are discouraged. Father, we pray that you would give us strength, that you would give us courage to step out and take action as we put our faith into action. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.